May my speaking and all our thinking be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
These words are the ending words of the passage that Charlie read today from Mark. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway, on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. Capernaum means the village of Nahum. There was an Old Testament prophet called Nahum, but there's no reason to believe that he was the Nahum that gave Capernaum its name. It is the town that was at the center of Jesus' ministry. It's in Galilee. It's frequently mentioned in all four Gospels. It's on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. It had a harbor, and its inhabitants fished, not only to provide for themselves, but also to sell salted fish in the neighboring communities. There was some flat ground which they farmed, and inland was a cemetery where they buried their dead. In Jesus' time, the population was around 1,500. There was a wide main street that ran north to south, and blind alleys opened off it where the homes were built. They were single-story houses with flat reed roofs. Standing in the main square was the synagogue. What remains are the ruins of a 3rd century synagogue built of elaborately carved white stones. It's really quite stunning. It's one of the oldest synagogues that still exists. Beneath its foundations, archaeologists have discovered the foundation of an earlier synagogue, doubtless the one that Jesus taught in on the Sabbath day. And even that one was probably not the original synagogue. Long before the time of Jesus, soon after the Jews had returned from exile in Babylon, they built synagogues in all their towns and villages. It was a time of religious revival, and they wanted places where the law and the prophets could be taught and studied. In Luke's gospel, there is the story of the healing of the centurion's servant, which took place in Capernaum. And the centurion is referred to as having built the synagogue. His was presumably a replacement for an earlier synagogue. But this one that he built is the one that Jesus visited. For the Jewish people, the synagogue was the sacred, holy space. The synagogue stood for God and for goodness. So there is a sense of rightness about the fact that it was in the synagogue on the Sabbath, God's day, that Jesus began his public ministry. And that sense of rightness is magnified by the fact that he taught as one with authority. His was the genuine voice of God, as contrasted with the scribes whose teaching sounded hollow. The overriding theme of St. Mark's Gospel is that the perfect goodness of Jesus means that he is destined to provoke confrontation with the evil forces of the world. And on this day, it is his teaching which does that. No sooner had Jesus finished speaking than a dramatic, demonic scream rang out in the synagogue that shocked his audience. "Leave us alone," it said. "You have come to destroy us. I know who you are, the Holy One of God." The scream came from a man, but it was not the man who was screaming. A demon took over his voice. In this sacred space, their synagogue, on their holy day, the synagogue, the good people of Capernaum recognized the voice of God speaking through Jesus. But the demons heard it too, and the fight was on. The sacred and the holy bring God's comfort to those who fear him, but they cause evil to tremble. Let me read you something. It's by Frederick Buechner. That's the Presbyterian writer, not our Frederick Buechner. He is describing a sacred space . One holy place I know is a workshop attached to a barn. There is a wood-burning stove in it made out of an oil drum. There is a workbench, dark and dented, with shallow crammed drawers, behind one of which a cat sleeps. There is a girly calendar on the wall, plus various lengths of chain and rope, shovels and rakes of different sizes and shapes, some worn-out jackets and caps on pegs, and an electric clock that doesn't keep good time. There are a couple of chairs with rungs missing. The place smells mainly of engine oil and smoke. I have no idea why this place is holy, but you can tell it the moment you set foot in it, if you have an eye for that kind of thing. For reasons known only to God, it is one of those places he uses for sending his love to the world. Buechner doesn't know why that workshop is sacred. But when he goes there, he can sense it as clear as day. And his experience rings true to me. And I suspect it does to you. We have all of us known places like that. They're not churches. They're not the synagogue at Capernaum. But they are holy places. In them, there is a sense that the gap between heaven and earth is tissue thin. People say in places like that, heaven and earth kiss each other. when we are right with God, they are very comforting, peaceful places to be. When we are not right with God, they are places of judgment. And it's not just places. Objects can be sacred. Times can be sacred. People can be sacred. Music can be sacred. Works of art can be sacred. They all bear the marks of God, His love, and His judgment. More often than not, it's just a fleeting and unexpected glimpse of God that they give us. Glimpses of the sacred are not everyday occurrences, but they shouldn't be rare either. Attempts to manufacture them always fail. We have to accept that they are gifts. The sacred is there all around us, in every sight we see, in every place we go, in every creature we meet, in everything we touch. All it takes is for God to lift the veil. That is just what Jesus did for the people of Capernaum on that Sabbath morning. He lifted the veil, and both the demons and the people saw the sacred. From the very beginning of his gospel, Mark wants his readers to know that was what Jesus did in his teaching, in his exorcisms, in his healing, in his dying, and in his rising. He lifted the veil so men could see the sacred. It was why God sent him. It's why he is the Savior of the world. The Christian doctrine of Jesus is that he is the first fruit. He is the trailblazer. He blazed a trail for us to follow. He opened the door for us to pass through. He is the true incarnation of God so that we can be also. We've been created in the image of God. So there is all the potential in us to be sacred beings. We may think that we are no more than workshops attached to barns, but we are, in fact, sacred beings. And all it takes is for Jesus to remove the scales on our eyes so that we can look in our mirrors and see it. We can drag our sacredness through the mud, do our best to tarnish it, but we can't drag it beyond redemption. Any demon that possesses us can be exorcised. That's what Jesus did for the man in the synagogue. He broke the bond of his latent sacredness. Again, using the image of the workshop attached to the barn, we can all become one of the places, one of the people that God uses for sending his love to the world. In fact, we are called to be just that. We're called to be lifters of the veil so that others can see. We are all called to grow into the fullness of our sacredness so that people know that when they have been in our presence, they've experienced something of God. Orthodox Christians use the word divinized. It's what we talk about in the prayer of consecration at communion when we pray that he may dwell in us and we in him. When that divination happens, we all of us can become real embodiments and expressions of God's own being and windows for others. I have a large black mug from which I drink my morning coffee. I bought it at Grassroots. On it is written, coffee first. When I saw it, I had to have it because that's how I feel about the morning. Don't ask me to do anything until I have eased into the day with my mug of coffee. Mark had a story to tell. The story of 3 years of the public life of the most remarkable man the world has ever seen. Where would he start his story? What would come first? Was there one event that predicted how the story would unfold? There was. Capernaum first. Why? Because in that synagogue, Jesus lifted the veil to the sacred that so infused his life that he would inspire good men and women to follow him and offer freedom and release to those who were in the grips of evil bonds. Amen.